Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, in studio in the new digs.
New digs, very nice.
How you feeling in here, Bob?
Good. I feel like we should just bring Gino over and do a That's Hockey.
That's what it looks like, doesn't it?
It does, and I'm on That's Hockey next, and it'd be easier. I wouldn't have to run across the parking lot. We'll do it
Put
here.
Put Gino over there and do it.
Let's go through the emails and figure out what they're talking about. And we'll just
should we just hijack every
that would
topic?
Be hilarious.
Yeah, we should.
Because we know the topics. Be like, what do you think of?
Are you both on the show?
I'm not tonight. I'm doing the Senators panel, but I imagine your lead would be.
Can't tell you.
Oh yeah, Leafs are always chat number one, no matter what. You say why?
Well
they practiced today.
I don't even know if they did practice today. Probably. I think they did, but
I will say that. My biggest thing for the Leafs still is health. Like, I want to continue the progression of Dermott and Gardner.
Yeah. Well, I think they're getting closer. I don't know what you've heard, Bob,
sounds
but
like.
I think Dermott's going to play it
any
Dermott, day now.
Yeah, if he doesn't play Wednesday, it sounds like he's getting real close. So that's a positive development. And Callie Rosen's back from his fractured foot. They just want to get him a little bit more of action in the American League. And you know, he's a left shot option. And you might as well bring him in and see what he's going to do, because he had an outstanding year last year and was fantastic in the Calder Cup playoffs. He was having another fantastic year this year. And I think the plan was to bring him up after the deadline, no matter what. But then he had this fractured foot. And, I mean, the reality is, as I look at it, he's on their team next year.
Well, they gave him that extension, didn't they?
Yeah, and I think he's kind of penciled in as your third pair left side guy.
You think the team's going to continue the? I'm sure they're hoping they're not going to get the opportunity to go over to the World Championships and scout around, but the Borgmans and Ozhiganovs and maybe knock that off, or you got to keep taking.
Well, I think I think they'll keep taking swings within reason at that. I mean, Ozhiganov, my guess is he won't be on the team next year. That's just a guess. And the only reason he won't be on the team is not that he's not a serviceable depth defenseman in the National Hockey League. He's just going to expect more money than they're prepared to pay him. And he could probably make more money in the KHL. And being a seventh guy on the Leafs, or a six or a seven or an eight, probably doesn't turn his crank too much. And so it becomes just economics 101 that he's less likely to be here than more likely to be here next year.
Is that why they didn't send him down? Because I think they had the option. I think he was waiver exempt. And they didn't send Ozhiganov down at any point. Was it the fear that
I don't know.
He'll
I'm
just
not
go
sure.
right back to
but
Russia?
I suppose that's always a fear when you've got that option. And then you say, well,
thanks, but no.
Didn't
thanks.
Sign up to be in the American League. And that's the risk you run when you do sign some Russians who aren't prepared to go to the minors.
That's what Yakupov did to the Oilers years ago. Like, he should have been in the minors. And remember the fear, Kevin Lowe was like, well, this guy's going to take his net and go home. He's going to go back to the K.
It's interesting because it varies from player to player, organization to organization. St. Louis Blues have a first-round pick, Klim Kostin. He's in his second full season in the American Hockey League. We saw him at the World Juniors. And, you know, he's no problem with it. But there are guys, especially the guys that sign as free agents and they think they're going to get an NHL shot. And Ozhiganov kind of got his shot, but he didn't really, you know, sees it in terms of being a top six guy on a regular basis, at least not on the Leafs. And so we'll see where it goes once the season's over.
Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider in studio. So I had a take earlier in the hour. And,
hot take?
It was quite hot. Although I think it's reasonable. And I think it's really room temperature. I think it should be applicable.
I don't know which one you're talking.
Executive of the year.
Oh, yeah.
George McPhee should win it again. As far as I'm concerned, Vegas, the fact that they're still in the playoffs, again, they're 2 years into existence, but he goes out there and he signs Stastny, trades for Pacioretty, and then trades for Mark Stone. Who's done better work?
Pretty good.
There you go. He got Bob's vote.
Now, the thing about the executive of the year, though, unlike all the other awards in the National Hockey League, it's regular season plus a chunk of the playoffs.
Really?
And I say a chunk of the playoffs because the voting doesn't take place for the executive of the year until sometime in the conference final. And it's the only award.
So you guys do your voting after the regular season's over?
For all the PHWA, all the main trophies. The executive of the year is a little bit different. It's a league trophy, but it's not decided at the end of the regular season. All the other stuff, you know, your Calder, your Norris, your Adams, your Vezina, first All-Star teams.
Like April
20th, yeah, it's all got to be in before the playoffs start.
Yeah.
But the executive of the year is voted on, I think it's usually sometime after the second round is over, kind of during the third round or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, you know, if Vegas were to go out in the first round of the playoffs...
Well, I'll change my take.
Right, exactly. So let's say San Jose has an unbelievable great run and they get to the cup final again. And you're like, ooh, Doug Wilson, he got Erik Karlsson and he did this and he did that. And, you know, give him from what he did last year getting Evander Kane and whatever. But you come up with all the rationalizations for the moves a guy made because he happens to be in the Final Four or going to the cup final.
Well, let me throw my other take at you, because
okay.
It's all about me and my hot takes.
Yes.
I said Lou Lamoriello should not get any votes because he didn't sign John Tavares. As the executive, your big thing.
I'm not buying that.
You're not buying that?
I'm not buying that.
We weren't buying that either.
You guys are three of you on that side of Gino's desk.
Hold on a second. We had the question twice.
You're on an island.
We had to go through the conversation twice.
Right.
Him and I had it first, and then those two had it.
I think you jumped in later.
Right.
So but you don't sign the... three for three, are we?
No. He wasn't paying attention, so we had to circle back on the conversation.
Right. Well, it happens.
It's a new studio.
Yeah.
But I think if you can't sign the biggest free agent in the history of your franchise, that's his job.
Yeah, but stuff happens. It's what you do afterwards, and it's a results-oriented business. So if the New York Islanders should end up with more points than the Toronto Maple Leafs, what does that say?
That Dubas should not get votes for the executive of the year.
And that Lou, if they end up with more points than the Leafs, and Lou's big acquisitions were Matt Martin,
Komarov.
Leo Komarov.
Right.
And Leonard.
Robin Leonard. Yeah.
And Barry Trotz, I guess.
Yeah,
he did hire
Barry
Trotz.
Trotz was a big one. But it's funny, the Islanders, it's weird. I don't ever recall a team that's played this well. And their entire first line, assuming they still playing together, but you've got...
Unrestricted.
They're all unrestricted. Yeah. Eberle, Lee, and Nelson. All three of them unrestricted. You've got Robin Leonard, unrestricted.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just Lou, and he'll say we'll take care of business when the season's over.
Well, he's got a lot to be happy
about. Anders Lee could be one of the best goal scorers in the league under the radar. This guy's 30-plus goals every year. He's a house, like an absolute beast of a man.
Yep.
And nobody's nobody's talking about this guy.
He's the best goal scorer that nobody ever knows.
But nobody's talking about, Anders Lee's going to cash in this summer.
Yeah.
Where's the lineup for Anders Lee?
Right.
His agents open doors and stuff. I almost feel like it's a foregone conclusion that Lou's going to be like, yeah, we'll bring you back. Here's a number, and he'll sign there. He's a captain.
Wouldn't you think he gets, the James Neal contract, basically, or more? You think he gets more than James Neal?
This guy's a 35 goal scorer.
Yeah.
If he gets something with a five in it, his agent should be fired.
Okay.
I'm talking
Neil Sheehy's his agent, and Neil's been at a lot of Islander games lately, and I'm not sure how much actual contract dialogue is going on, because Lou's not a big guy for... I'm sure Lou has indicated, we want to sign you, we're going to sign you, just let's play hockey, and then we'll take care of business.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet, generally,
when
Lou's running the operation.
Who's better, Nylander or Lee? Nylander just got $7 million. Lee scored 40 goals last year.
Mm.
Nylander's never scored more than 22
and
60 points.
And Lee had 34 the year before?
34 the year before. He had 62 points last year. He's got 27 goals this year, so he's going to probably hit 30 or close to it. That's 3 years at 30 plus or 40 on the one.
How old is he?
27.
28.
Yeah, he's going to get paid.
Yeah, that's what
I mean.
He
should
it's get probably
paid.
Something with a 7.
So the Van Riemsdyk contract?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, 6'3", 230.
Yeah.
He's a house.
I'm acting as if I've never heard the guy before.
Well, no, but that's the thing.
I understand
He just blends in because he's a really good player.
Right.
It's crazy to think. We were talking yesterday raving about that Josh Anderson, in Columbus. That kid sat out. He's a house of a man that can move. But you look through the league, that's where a manager has to find somebody like that who flies under the radar and give you 30 goals, and he's a captain material. And he, by all accounts, it sounds like he's a real quality person, too. I know he's a Minnesota kid. Apparently, he could have been a quarterback.
Yeah, oh, okay. Like, great athlete.
Yeah, good athlete. But I don't even know what the marketplace is for an Anders Lee. It could be the JVR.
He'll get paid for sure. I wonder what Drew Doughty thinks about Anders Lee. What his opinion
just
is.
Just ask him. He'll tell you.
I love Doughty.
He went off yesterday.
What do you make of that?
He always does it in Canada, if you've ever figured that out. Whenever they get into Canada, they know the mics are on and the cameras are on, and that's when they usually spout off.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I can understand if somebody wants to disagree with what he said, but let's applaud him for having some personality.
I love
it. Making things interesting and it's, you know, and being outside the norms of what people expect from hockey players. I have no problem with personality, and you got to make sure that you understand all the context, because you know everybody's saying he took a shot at Brent Burns, and he did. He talked about Brent Burns' defensive game, which he didn't think was up to snuff, but he also waxed poetic about what a great offensive defenseman Brent Burns is. But people always gravitate towards the negative side of anything, as opposed to nobody wants to hear a compliment, everybody wants to hear an insult.
Right.
So,
well, the one thing I would say is I didn't like that he was speaking on behalf of the whole league.
Yeah, nobody likes
Matthew Tkachuk, you know. And I thought Brady handled it beautifully today. He said, well, his teammates like him a lot.
Yeah.
And that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
Now, who cares if Drew Doughty doesn't like Matthew Tkachuk?
Yeah.
Why would he?
I guarantee if I ask people in Calgary, they love Matthew Tkachuk, the players, the fans, everything. Like this guy.
Sign up the whole Tkachuk family.
How can't you? Like that family, they're beasts. Like the dad was a great player. Both of his sons are, like Matthew's a great player, and I think Brady has a chance of being a great player.
Absolutely.
Like that's
both
that's
future
a pretty good
captains, team. You think?
I'd say.
Yeah, I would say. Like Brady's a, I'm around him a lot. Like that's a kid you can tell that has been brought up in a hockey environment, like that just gets it.
They're both game changers. They're both guys that have a visceral impact on the game. Like, you can't not look at Brady Tkachuk and just think, this is fun.
Something's happening.
This is good.
The only thing that would prevent Matthew from being a captain is, I mean, there's guys like Monahan there. Like, he's just so involved in the penalties and the punching.
Although he's gotten way
better. But that's still, maturity. He's one of those guys that's just going to be in the mix all the time. Do you want him talking to the refs all night? I don't know if that would be your guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's maturity, though. It comes with that responsibility.
Oh, yeah. 2 years ago, he was an idiot on the ice. He was doing stupid stuff.
Well, he had the Detroit incident. Was that last year or the year before with that?
He was on the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah, he jousted with that.
He needed to get a little more focused, and I think he has.
Yeah.
He's a player.
In spite of what Drew said.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider in studio. John Cooper, head coach of Tampa with an extension. He was a free agent.
Yep.
And, you know, is he making Babcock money?
No, I don't think so. So far, it's a closely guarded secret in terms of the term and the dollars. And don't kid yourself, all the coaches in the National Hockey League are like, what did he get? What did he get? And eventually it'll probably, you know, the coaches like salary disclosure for the most part. And I'm sure Tampa wants it kept quiet. And they probably told Cooper saying, hey, we're going to give you this money, but we don't want you blabbing about it. And that, but the coaches like salary disclosure because for all the same reasons that you guys got more money, because Bob Goodenough was smart enough to figure out if every player knows what every other player is making, we're all going to make more money.
Exactly.
And if all the coaches know exactly what everybody's making, so they try to do a good job now of making sure that the fraternity understands who's getting what. So anyways, the big question was John Cooper going to be able to sneak his way into the $4 million stratosphere? So you got Babs at six and Quenneville up there. And the sense seems to be that it's probably, the average is probably in the threes. And that if he gets to four, maybe it's in the final year of the contract. We don't even know how long the extension is. So
I was just going to say, it wouldn't shock me if it was like 3.75 or some.
Yeah, I have honestly, I have no idea. But I'm going to guess it's like, you know, 3.5, give or take.
So 3.5 in Tampa, no state tax.
Yeah, exactly. And when we talked about this unique situation of him being on an expiring contract, and winning the President's Trophy and maybe being the favorite to win the Stanley Cup, we noted that all the players in Tampa, whether it's Kucherov or Hedman or Stamkos or on and on down the line, they all took less than market value. And you could probably argue that John Cooper's taking less than market value.
You know what he was making before?
Yeah, 2.25.
Oh, so he's probably making some cake.
We should. He's
even, if it, even if it's a million and a half more, that puts it at 3.75. Like that's, and if it's got any term attached, what did Barry Trotz sign for? 20? It was 4 a year, 20 million? I thought I...
That's
four times five, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm he's getting five a year. Wow.
No. 4 a year times five.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I believe. That's what I... Yeah, I thought I remember it was a $20 million deal.
I keep forgetting all the coaches' salaries, and I wish there was a cap friendly for coaches so we could look it up.
Yeah. Well, Babcock signed 4 years ago. You would think with the cap going up at some
point... An eight-year deal?
Yeah, it was 8 years, $6 million, 4 years
but
ago.
You know, the funny thing is we all assume when Babcock signed, and he did create a ripple effect because Todd McClellan got $4 million and Joel Quenneville got his money, and it was closer to Babcock money. And we thought that all the coaches' salaries would come up. And what happened is a small group did, but then there was a lot of coaches got hired, and they were much, you know, some guys were making less than $1 million or around $1 million, And so a lot of teams started to go the bargain route as opposed to paying the $4, $5, $6 million a year. And so I guess it really depends how much leverage you got.
Right. Well, no salary cap, no salary floor.
But that's
either
with
coaching
staff. Right. But I mean, that's you. A lot of times you get what you pay for, unless you're a coach that's just starting out.
Well, I'm gonna guess, just a guess, because I don't know. I'm gonna guess Rod Brindamore is not making a lot of money.
No.
Yeah. And when you start, And I would say, you know, you want to start, everybody had talk at winning or being in the coach of the year conversation when Arizona was in the playoffs. Well, now they're back out. So, you know, if they get back in, I'm sure some people will vote Rick Tocchet, and he's done a great job. I'm not arguing that and that. But I've been really impressed with Brindamore. You know what I really like is the Hurricanes, have, quite aside from the debate over the storm surge and the celebration, the Hurricanes do a really good job with social media, and after a lot of games, they put up 60 seconds of Brindamore talking to the team. They did
it
the other night.
It's good stuff.
And it's really good because it's legit, and you can tell that Brindamore is really earnest. But and what they're nobody's playing to the camera. It's just like the camera's there, and he's actually talking to the players. And when they won that game the other night, he basically apologized because he probably torpedoed the players after the second intermission. And he goes, "Sorry, guys, but I feel like you're my kids, and I know you're so much better than what you were showing." And you could tell the genuine affection between them. And it's kind of cool to see a team and a coach. And again, they're winning, so everything's wonderful. But that was kind of cool. And I've been impressed with just the way Brindamore's carrying himself and that, because there could be a tendency, because he was... You know, you know him.
I sat beside him.
He's such a driven guy, and he used to be, and it seems to me, I'm sure he still is, but he seems to have that lighter touch and sense that, hey, I got a bunch of millennials here. I can't just say, get in the weight room and work as hard as I did.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. You got to get your message across.
I think he just looks to me like a guy that's got a rapport and a feel for a lot of those kids on the team, and they are kids. And I think that's really impressive and cool to see.
Thanks for joining us here on That's Hockey.
Buddy, you're going to blow your back out. I know it. You have to lean over. Like
it's these new mics, man.
Yeah. I said we got to get mics that have a
little bend.
A joint that bends.
You are going to have a bad.
Oh, my back's already wonky.
I feel like
bed back
sit
and beyond.
On a pillow.
Yes.
A mattress topper. That's the new thing.
You're going to take the mattress topper, roll it up, put it behind your back.
Absolutely. It saves backs. The best sleep you'll ever have, and it'll save your back. In the new Overdrive studio.
Get yourself a MyPillow.
That's right. All right, Bob. Good seeing you.
All right, boys. Thanks.
Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider.